Blog Talk Radio. love, family. Peace and love, dear beautiful family. Happy Monday, happy Moon Day, happy Reflection Day. I always think it's interesting that Monday is Moon Day, which means reflection, but it's like the top of the work week. Kind of strange. But c'est la vie. Happy 2022, excuse me, just in case anybody missed any of my prior episodes this year. I also want to say happy Melanated People's Month. Happy Black History Month, y'all. Happy African History Month. It's an amazing time. And, you know, we're going to celebrate. We're going to relish in ourselves a little bit. And I'm going to drop a few tidbits as well. And, you know, one of my mottos is that every day is our history month. Every day is our history month. It is, because we have so many achievements and so many things that we have done for this planet. And unfortunately, it just kind of gets shrouded. But it still does not negate the fact that it has occurred. It does happen. Okay, we make magic happen. We've invented almost everything, all types of technology. I mean, the achievements and accomplishments that we have brought to the world are insurmountable. So this is the month that we celebrate that, but me, I celebrate it all year round, all year round. So happy birthday to all the Aquarians. Happy birthday to all my Aquarian family, all my friends that are Aquarians, the amazing Caroline Duval Saint, the amazing Roz Moore, the awesome and fantastic Moyosore Mickens, Laura Gadsden, Natasha Akinyele. There are some amazing Aquarian women in my life, and so I just want to give all of them a super shout-out. Okay, tonight we're going to be discussing a little bit of astrology, being that Mercury and Venus retrogrades are finally over. Okay, we're going to be going into the troubles of Whoopi Goldberg and why some folks have their panties in a bunch about her. You know, she's been suspended from The View for like about 2 weeks, but not everyone really agrees on this move by ABC executives, so we're going to talk about that. We're also going to be discussing the crazy new Playboy series, which is the expose. Woo, this thing is crazy. As I said in the edit tonight, it's always amazing what white wealth and power can get away with. You know, Hugh Hefner was no saint, and it just gets nastier and nastier. So many things. So we're going to talk about some things tonight. And, you know, relax, sit back. If you need to take notes on anything, I'm sure I'll probably talk about something that you may want to jot down. So, you know, get a pen and a pad or whatever you want to do to get some information. And let's jump in. Okay. Da, 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 da. I see I got Sister Dawn in the mix. Hey, sis. It's always a blessing to have you with us. All right. Now, I'm kicking this off by stating that, again, Nubian Melanated Peoples Month, okay, a.k.a. Black History Month, could also be called World History Month. Okay, because like I said, our history is world history. And the fact that so much of our story has been stolen, lied, or removed is all too real. So when you ask the question why, it definitely has many layers to it. So one question is, you know, were the Europeans that threatened at our existence and our achievement? Or were they just embarrassed about their own origin, as it was very dire, scarce, lackful, barren, and violent? Okay, this is what created the European mindset, and it remains in the hearts and minds of many to this day. And I'm not just making this European. We also have to move a bit into the Northern Asian countries as well, because these people shared a very similar mindset. And I don't know if it, I mean, not that I don't know, but yes, it could have been from the cold and the fact that they didn't have, you know, access to food, and they didn't have access in lots of areas to freshwater fish, you know, or any vitamin D. Of course, these people that were originally melanin dominant migrated into different territories and were cut off by the last ice age, which was the Wormian ice age. And so all those people that get trapped above the 51st parallel in ice and cold and snow, are now developing a very new and altered disposition. And so it really does become more of a threat for survival, more of a survival of the fittest type of attitude, because you are lacking in flora and fauna and vegetation and even livestock resources to be able to eat, which is why more African people are vegetarian, because there was no need to really eat an animal or anything that you had to bloodlet, because we had so many fruits and vegetables, you know, right at our hand. So we wouldn't have to necessarily kill an animal, cook it, all that. We don't have that. We don't have a carnivorous, rare meat eating habit as melanin dominant people. We don't get into meat eating until later, until our society starts to merge and different things begin to happen. But we really weren't eating meat in old, old ancient times. We didn't have to. So they, on the other hand, as I said, have gross lack of resources and food, a lot. And so they're forced to kill. They're even forced to cannibalize and eat each other, which they have done, and they did that even when they got over here. You should read the story about the Donner Pass with the white people who wanted to make it across the Colorado Rockies and what have you, and how they froze and starved and cannibalized themselves. You know, this one man was able to sustain his whole winter diet off of his wife's body that he had buried in the snow, and he would just, you know, break off a piece and eat it every once in a while. Okay? This is who we're working with. So there are a lot of things that lend themselves to these behavioral changes in humanity. And when we fast forward to today, there are like the grossest misconceptions about melanin-dominant people. And so we then pay the price with our lives. And it's all, to me, based on misinformation and hijacked information, because we were not cannibalizing people. We were righteous and civilized people. We invented the word civilization. Okay. Just saying. Mm-hmm. So as we move through this so-called Black History Month, I urge us to continue to seek knowledge of self, okay? You can buy lots of books, all right? You can also go to sourceofknowledge.com. It's a really great Black-owned bookstore, as well as artifacts and statues and paintings and what have you, in Newark, New Jersey. But they're really wonderful people. So if you want to order some books, order through there. You know, you don't necessarily have to give Barnes & Noble your money, okay? You don't have to necessarily do that. You can, you know, really support your local Black bookstore. That's what I suggest, okay? You can also watch very impactful videos on YouTube and other outlets, okay, with our awesome scholars and lecturers. You know, we've done vast amounts of research, and there are so many wonderful books that are out here that we can learn from, we can glean power from, you know, very important, okay? We also have games. They have games. They have flashcards, you know, all kind of fun things so that you can get into it with your friends and your family, you know, maybe instead of playing Trivial Pursuit or some other type of board game or whatever, you know, play an African-American history game and, you know, see just how much you know or don't know about your amazing, marvelous self, okay? You know, I wish, you know, we'd continue to get more knowledge of self. It is so grave. It's important. All right? So right about now, drum roll. It's time for Black Facts. So did you know that over 5,000 children were arrested in 1963 in the United States of America? What? Okay. So the amazing Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had just gotten out of jail in Birmingham, Alabama. and he had written a letter to his constituents about how the state of Alabama was actually receiving a lot of money by putting innocent black people in jail as prisoners and then forcing them to pay bail to get out. So they came up with a plan where they could, like, flip the script and deliberately get folks arrested. And then they would pack the prisons without paying the bail so that the state would be forced to house and feed them. Now, at this time, we're talking about the early 60s, and a lot of adults were very wary about doing this, especially, you know, black adults were very wary about doing this because they were working. 9 times out of 10, they did not work for themselves. They worked for someone who was white. And so they feared that they would probably either be fired or, you know, God knows if they would have been, like, jailed indefinitely or whatever. So what wound up happening was that the children said, well, we will do it. The children stood up and said, we'll go. They organized through churches, schools, radio stations, and all sorts of different media outlets to make this happen. So here's some more of the story. On May 2nd, 1963, thousands of children gathered at the 16th Baptist Church in place of their parents, who under Alabama law and social oppression faced harsh penalties such as loss of their jobs and jail time if they protested the racist and unjust segregation laws of Alabama. Thursday, May 2nd, is also known as D-Day, as students ditched class in March for Justice. In disciplined groups of 50, singing children would walk out of the 16th Street Baptist Church, two by two, and when the group would get arrested, another took its place. There are not enough cops to contain them. Police reinforcements are hurriedly summoned. By the end of the day, over 1,000 children are jailed. The next day, thousands of more cut class to assemble at the church. With the jails already filled to capacity and the number of marches growing, Eugene, quote, Bull, end quote, Connor, whew, he was a fierce one, the commissioner of public safety in charge of the police and fire departments, tries to suppress the movement with violence. Instead of arresting the first group of marchers, he orders his fire department to disperse them with fire hoses. But the students hold their ground, singing freedom to the tune of the ancient hymn, Amen. I hope you remember that song. Let me say, Amen, 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 Amen. So they just changed it to freedom. So they're freedom, 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 freedom. Okay? Thing about freedom, all right? At the same time, Connor orders the water pressure increased to knock them off their feet and literally wash them away. Still singing, the young protesters sit down on the pavement and hunch their backs against a torrent of water. Okay? So the things that we have done, and that was just a little moment, little snippet. But, you know, did we learn this in elementary school? How many of us listening to this show right now learned about D-Day in terms of 5,000 African-American children being arrested in the state of Alabama, in the city of Birmingham? How many of us got that? So I'm going to try to drop some facts throughout this month when I do my episodes on Monday. You know, it's just really important. Our story is just so amazing and incredible. And when I look at videos from Africa with African people current, whether they're dancing, whether they're talking, whether it's a wedding, the weddings are off the chain, y'all. You better recognize and realize. When I watch an African wedding, I'm like, woo-wee. I mean, we're talking about like 21 bridesmaids, okay, and 21 groomsmen. Huge displays, royalty, even though they may not necessarily be royal, but it looks like a royal wedding. Amazing. I'm not even joking. Just so beautiful. I saw one amazing picture where the bride had at least 12, maybe about 9 to 12 women holding the train of her dress. I mean, elegant beyond belief. And I think that that's heavy because when we look at, like, say, when the quote-unquote royal family, ha, 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 you know, whenever there's a wedding and it's just all this, you know, elegance and pomp and circumstance, I always ask y'all, where do you think they got that from? They got that from us. When you want to watch something that's really royal and amazing, like look up a Ghanaian wedding, or look up even the royal family in Ghana. Look at how they have gold dust on their faces, and that their gold jewelry is absolutely incredible and amazing. I mean, look at how regal and powerful they are. And this is present day. I'm not talking about Taharqa or Mansa Musa per se. I'm talking about right now. We're incredible. So I'm like, you know, that's why I always continue to beckon us to show up, you know, when we have whatever, wherever you're going, what you're doing, show up, honey. Be your amazing and fantastic self because, whew, we're fierce. We're fierce, all right? Just don't forget it, all right? And it's time for all of us to sort of, like, turn up a little bit, okay? It's time. It's okay. It's time for all of us to just, you know, turn it up a little bit. The age is beckoning us to do so, which is a nice segue into my next topic, which would be astrology. Now, I broke this down a few weeks ago. It was really intense because people were tripping and everybody was hitting me up, and I was like, okay, let's get some information and some knowledge so we're going to be all right. Because I find that when people lack astrological knowledge, they just stumble around in the darkness and don't understand why. And then, excuse me, they act as if they're being victimized or they're being punished or whatever. And I'm like, it's just par for the course, punk, and it's going to pass. Like, calm down and relax. It's going to be okay. You know, there's way too much panicking going on right now. There are a lot of people who have lost self-esteem, who've lost self-confidence either. People have lost their footing. And I'm like, is this because of the crazy COVID mess or what? But, I mean, just come on back now. Go to a mirror, look in the mirror, and remind yourself that you're amazing and wonderful and valid as a human being. You're beautiful and fantastic in your own right. You're special and divine. My husband has this amazing new mix-up, 152, which is Back to Life, I believe it's called, on SoundCloud.com. It's so hot. And one of the songs I love because the sister is saying, all that we embody is divine. It's true. We are divine. Now, whether you feel like it or you're acting like it or you're not acting like it, doesn't really make a difference. The fact is you are a divine entity and you're connected to our planet. You're connected to the ocean, the sun, moon, the stars, and every other planet in our solar system throughout our galaxy and entire universe. We are amazing. So what's deep is that we're in the age of Aquarius. We're in the beginning of the age of Aquarius. We're going to be here for over 2,000 years, so it's definitely going to be a topic of conversation. But the sun is in Aquarius right now, which is why I gave a shout-out to all the amazing Aquariuses at the top of the show. All right? This is an amazing time to be alive. It's wonderful. All right? Now, as I said before, the freaky Mercury retrograde and the wild emotional Venus retrograde are over. Both planets are currently moving direct. Mercury appears to move a little slower when coming out of retrograde, so there are maybe some lingering effects as this is only the 7th and Mercury just came out of retrograde on the 3rd. But as the days continue to go by, it'll get a little bit lighter and a little bit lighter and a little bit lighter. All right, so I really feel that I would be charged to say the worst is over. All right, so here's a little breakdown. On February 1st, the new moon had occurred in the sign of Aquarius. And that was prompting us to make a clean break or a fresh start. We awaken our minds to a need for vision, socializing and brainstorming, expressing feelings of friendship, and developing more objectivity in our lives. This new moon, aligned with Saturn, suggests a somber and unwavering determination to start fresh, and perhaps some reticence is involved. With its square to Uranus, unexpected or rebellious elements are likely. I'm going to come back to that in a minute, and you'll get me when I do. In the sign of Aquarius, friendship, brotherhood, group activities, social pursuits, group projects, trying something new, humanitarian efforts, or joining a group will be a strong focus. New beginnings regarding any or all of these matters are possible now. Last week, on February 3rd, Mercury turned direct in the sign of Capricorn. It began its retrograde in Aquarius on January 25th and retreated into Capricorn. When Mercury is retrograde in Capricorn, we may have little tolerance for small talk and tend to express ourselves after much deliberation. Plans may be considered, then reconsidered. Okay, we're in a good position to reevaluate professional or life path plans and goals. It's also a fine time to explore what ambition of our reputation means to us. From February 3rd, information unclogs slowly but surely, and Mercury begins retracing its steps, now in direct motion, and its shadow will end completely on February 24th, which is why I say we got a little bit of a lingering that's going to happen, but it's not as bad as it was when it was just like full force, okay? Now, on Valentine's Day, February 14th, Pluto is going to form a trine to the true north node of the moon. This transit intensifies our passion for making a difference, a change, or a connection. We can feel strongly connected to people or groups at this time. A powerful and intuitive sense of what people want or need can figure strongly now, for better or for worse. The desire to make deep, long-lasting changes or overhauls to existing systems or attitudes is motivating now. On February 16th, a full moon will occur in the sign of Leo. This will be the snow moon, or the hunger moon, named by Native Americans due to the scarce food resources and difficult hunting conditions during the midwinter. This lunation reminds us of needs we may have been putting to the side. There can be an urgent or sudden need or desire to express ourselves around this lunation. We are more powerfully aware of our creative, romantic, and expressive urges. Ooh. Something is exposed or illuminated, prompting us to get in touch with those things in our personal lives that we may have been neglecting or putting off. The Leo moon is proud and intensely individual. It occurs almost exactly when Venus and Mars align, suggesting a creative, romantic, and dynamic element to our revelations. On February 17th, Jupiter forms a sextile to Uranus and is enlightening. We're open to new energies, approaches, and attitudes under this influence. Fortunate events occur as a direct result of our willingness to entertain the unusual and think outside the box. This transit favors group activities, financial endeavors associated with groups or organized efforts, online connections and ventures, educational pursuits, writing, publishing, speaking, and humanitarian efforts. Our outlook is positive and optimistic during this time. Also, during this transit, we tend to view change and activity as favorable. We're less tolerant of repetition and routine, and we're resistant to obligations or limits to our self-expression. Good luck or money can happen unexpectedly. That's nice. Appearing in the nick of time. With Jupiter in Pisces, we can be quite sentimental, but this aspect helps us detach somewhat from this so that we can embrace change. So we got a lot going on, and that's just up to the halfway point of the month. But, you know, just, you know, hold on to your feelings. I always say be aware, you know, be aware of what's coming out of your mouth. Be aware of your actions and your behavior. That should be all the time anyway. But definitely, as you know, we're coming out of this retrograde intensity. Watch your mouth, you know, and stand up for yourself at the same time. So it's very interesting. Now, what I'm finding is that the square of the moon to Uranus, which can bring about unexpected or rebellious elements, that to me goes right in line with what's going on with Sister Whoopi Goldberg, who's been suspended from The View for 2 weeks over making anti-Semitic statements. I'm like, really? Are we serious? And when I say that, I mean, I can't stand it when people receive information that they're uncomfortable with and they deliberately have to label it as something that's anti or that's, you know, racially polarized or any of those types of things. What's getting to me about this whole Whoopi Goldberg thing, and I heard her on The View, as well as her apology when she was on The Colbert Show. And first of all, I didn't feel that she had anything to apologize over. What I found interesting was that she did not fully delve into why she felt the Jewish people are not a race. And this is deep. Now, I know that Hitler claimed that the Jews were a race and blah, 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 blah. All right, whatever. Now, that was long gone. By the time you've got a white German Jew, the time of the original Jew who is black has been usurped completely. So when you get to Hitler and the Third Reich, you do have a movement of man in humanity against man, and you do have a movement of white man in humanity against white men and women. You have that. Interesting is that I'm here to let you know Jewish people are not a race of people. They are a religious group of people. They are a people who practice a specific religion, which we call Judaism. The funny part is that when you say Jewish, it really means kinda Jew, because ish is like kinda. Nobody wants to talk about that too much. They just say the word loosely without really looking at the etymology of it and why they're called that. Because the black Jew in Israel who's being persecuted as I speak, who's being beat up every day, who's losing their land and their homes every day, the black melanin-dominant Jewish person in Israel doesn't call themselves Jewish. Check that. Their original Hebrew. Even the Hebrew Israelites are not called Jews, though they practice Judaism. I'm just trying to get y'all to really realize what we're looking at because, you know, a crap storm has started because one black woman attempted to say that the Holocaust wasn't about race. Now, she was also a little incorrect because Hitler did kill gypsies and other black people as well. And the Aryan Nation was supposed to be a quote-unquote white supremacist group of people. They wanted to push the supremacy of the white Aryan human, which I still laugh at because the original Aryan comes from Arius, who was a black man in Roman times who contested Constantine and went against what we call the Roman Catholic Church to this day. You know, they went off into the mountains and what have you, a whole group of them, because they knew that there was no such thing as Christianity. They knew that there was no such thing as a Jesus Christ. They knew that that was not real, and so they were like, we're not co-signing that, and so they ran for their lives because, of course, they were being persecuted. And if they were captured, they would have, you know, they would be killed, you know, and it's all just to make sure that the story stays the same. It doesn't have anything to do with the truth. So that's another story, like I said, I'll try to compile something like that for you later based on the misnomers of Christianity and what, who actually was in charge of it and how very little of it had anything to do with Iesu. Everything, it had very, very, very little to do with Isa, Yahshua, those who we would call Jesus. Very little. It has very little to do with that. You know, even though he becomes the poster child for it and the whole nine, but that's another story. Y'all ain't ready. Anyway. So I just thought that was kind of intense because she's, you know, getting in trouble. Now, mind you, the head executive of ABC News is a black woman. Check that out. I don't know if y'all knew about that one. Her name is Kimberly Godwin. Okay? So the light-skinned black woman says it's okay to punish and suspend the dark-skinned black woman for making a statement. Now, the other part that's wild is that The View is a talk show, yes? All you do is get up there for about an hour and just jibber-jabber-jabber-jabber-jib. It doesn't have to be true necessarily. It's just a bunch of rhetoric and conversation. You know, it's a bunch of blah, blah, blah. But still in all, that's what they do. So why are we getting an attitude about a conversation? Why are we suspending a co-host of the show because you don't like what she had to say? I mean, if anything, you could have had her either, you know, break her statement down a little bit more. But I don't believe a suspension was necessary. But I know why a suspension occurred. Again, I covered this a long time ago and let you all know for real, that Jewish people run the entire media and own all the television stations. Okay? So their narrative is what's going to be pushed. Whatever it is that they want to push is what we're going to see and experience on television. Now, you might get something else in terms of if you're watching a YouTube television show or a different podcast. Okay? But if it's coming on any of the major networks, if it's coming on any of your cable networks, if it's mainstream media or if it's mainstream television or whatever, seriously, it's controlled. Totally controlled. I shared this with you all probably over a year ago, but if you look up the protocols of Zion, okay, the protocols of the Elders of Zion, Google that if you need to. If you own the book Behold the Pale Horse, it's actually an excerpt inside of the book. But check it out. It's freakishly scary because it's written by the Zionist movement. And this was written in the late 1700s, but they were talking about exactly what they wanted to do and how they were going to take over the world by brute force and make-believe. It's a line. It's a specific line. I'm quoting right here. We will take over the world by brute force and make-believe. And look where we are right now. Hey! So the saga continues. The games continue to pop because they don't want harmony in the world. They, like I learned in seventh grade, the most money-making enterprise in this world is war. And so these individuals make sure they spin stuff and they just, you know, highlight what they need to highlight. They denigrate the accomplishments and achievements of African people and African-American people. They strip Native people of all their rights, all these kinds of things. You better believe the Jews had a lot to do with the slave trade, a lot. So don't get it twisted, especially in Rhode Island. Like, know your history. I'm so serious. It's deep, and it's real heavy because under the Moorish occupation of Europe for over 700 years, Jewish people, well, black Jews especially, were used as accountants. You know, they were the money holders. And then after the fall of the Moorish Empire in 1492-1493, the Jews meld in, okay, with the mainstream European population and begin to slowly take control of things, okay? Then you get Hitler and World War II in the late 1930s, early 1940s. And there were other reasons as for why he chose to come upon, quote-unquote, the Jewish people, the white European Jewish people. There's a reason for that. I'm not going to go too much into that right now because it's deep and it's heavy and some of you might not be able to follow me, but it was very intense, and it had a lot to do with the practices that certain Jews utilized from the Talmud, and that's a freaky, nasty book. Sorry. It condones sex with children. It condones all kind of wild behavior, okay? So, and that has nothing to do with the Torah, okay? The Torah are the five laws of Moshe, a.k.a. Moses, and the Talmud is developed from some freaky Babylonians, just to say. Sorry, I'm just going in. So, in wanting to get rid of those practices, I could understand that. I'm not trying to condone the massacre of millions of people in any way, but I do see where the rub was in terms of the behavior and the things that, were done within that community that were kind of heinous to most other people. No offense to anyone, anywhere. Just talking about history. And so when we fast forward to today, and we look at the things that are popularized in our society, like what's popular? And I'm not really talking about NFTs. I'm talking about, like, what's really popular, you know? Cosmetic surgery, implants, whether it be hair implants, butt implants, breasts, whatever, lips, all kind of stuff. We're living in a world where if you don't want to be who you were born as, you can just not be that. Like, I feel like tomorrow I could probably just pop up like a piece of toast and tell somebody I'm a head of lettuce and they would have to believe me. Like, I feel like that's where we are in terms of some of the craziness that I'm seeing in this world. You know, we're in a place where if we're watching television, which I tell you not to do, I advise not to do that. We're watching it, it's like subliminal innuendos which lend themselves to very negative behavior. Very, very negative behavior. If you're caught in a Judge Judy, Jerry Springer type of world and you're just watching reality show after reality show and you are absorbing all this negativity, nasty energy, very homoerotic, very misogynistic, you know, eventually that might begin to make patterns in your brain. That might make some patterns in your thinking. And like thinking that you're either not good enough or you don't look pretty enough or whatever enough, right? Or it puts you in a position where you can just, you know, plant yourself in somebody else's life and either take their spouse or you know, be deceitful, be dishonest, you know, all these things. Plus the fakery that gets, you know, thrown in our faces all day with these television shows like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette and, you know, 90 Day Fiancé, all these stupid television shows. I think they make people look their worst, in all honesty. So here we are, and I think people are starting to shake some of that now. You know, there's a very interesting show called, let me get this right, I think it's My Killer Body with Kay Michelle. But these young women and are absolute disasters in cosmetic surgery. I was just flipping through the channels the other day, and there was this one sister on, and she had had a tummy tuck, and she has butt implants. And unfortunately, she's experiencing the worst and most adverse reactions to both. With regard to the butt implants, they literally injected silicone in various canals of flesh in her butt. So it's not like it's a butt implant where they slice it open and they put it in a bag or whatever. It's complete, like, bombardment. Injection bombardment is what I would call it. Like, they just shot up her entire behind with silicone, and it's painful for her. And she wanted to get it out, and the doctor's like, there's no way we're going to be able to get all of this out. You have so many different injections. And so they showed her flesh, which is, like, pocked up and, like, it's as if somebody just took a pencil and just was like, dot, 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 all over her behind. Okay? Then her tummy tuck did not heal right. Horrible. The flesh looks disgusting. She probably would have looked better off if she did nothing to herself and stayed chunky. Okay? Honestly. Honestly. But this society and our world in present day makes people feel like they have to have a body like a Barbie doll. Mind you, I played with Barbie dolls for a very long time as a young girl. I have an awesome Barbie collection. Never once did I think my body was ever going to look like the doll. Never once did I want my body to look like the doll. Anybody who's ever had a real Barbie doll knew that that was something that was not really going to happen. I would have to probably break four ribs and wear a corset in order to look like Barbie. Think about it. So, you know, we played with the doll, but never in my psychosis was I ever trying to look like the doll, ever. But we have these chicks out here who are copying these crazy Kardashian children. That's a whole nother story I'm not going to do right now. But they're like, they're copying them because they're just in their faces all day with Keeping Up with the Kardashians and all these stupid television shows that spun off of them and what have you, and Kourtney and Kim in Miami and all this other craziness. It's amazing when I'm like, no one seems to look at these women like Black Widow spiders against brothers in the community. Nobody's looking at that. How many lives of brothers have been touched / ruined by these chicks? I'm not even trying to sound facetious. I think Reggie Bush was lucky by breaking up with Kim and moving on with his life, even though he married a chick looked just like her. But it's probably not as crazy. You know, Kanye, all of this stuff. Chloe, look what happened with Chloe and Lamar Odom. Where is Lamar Odom these days? She ruined that man as far as I'm concerned. And I know it's not easy to be married to somebody if they're, you know, a star in a reality television show. But I'd be like, yo, I'm off camera. Don't show me. I'm not talking, nothing. So that was just another hot mess. But, you know, between that and then you get all these other sensational shows. Plus, don't forget those videos that used to come out in the 90s about Girls Gone Wild and, you know, Miami Beach and Spring Break Gone Wild and all this Gone Wild stuff with little children flashing people and running around half naked and kissing boys and girls and everything else in between. Woo! I mean, the sensationalism has just gotten out of control. You know, it saddens me to a certain extent because I know that we're not here for that. We're not here for that. So when I see it's just purported over and over and over again, it's nauseating after a while. You know, and I'm very anti. I'm anti-porn. I'm anti-voyeurism. I'm anti that. I'm anti because I know that that's at somebody else's expense in a huge way. And so I don't want to participate in that. I'm not going to participate in some young girl having to just be on all fours, spread eagle for the world to see because she doesn't have any money. I'm not participating in any of that. And people don't think that way when they think about porn. They're like, oh, it's just da-da-da-da-da. No, it's usually it's done at someone's detriment. And I've done a lot of research, and I've worked with porn, with people in porn movies and stuff from a sociological standpoint and what have you with life counseling and different things like that, or, you know, even ex-strippers and just, like, how horrible and demeaning and how, no. So I can't co-sign that. I'll always poo-poo that, and because I know that there's alternative ways for us to make money. We don't have to do that. You know, and that's a European concept as well. And it's disgusting. And there's a huge difference between real intimacy and just sex and sex things. There's a huge difference. So be careful. You know, and teach your children better. So maybe we can diminish some of this behavior that we see. And this is my next segue into the Playboy television expose series. Oh, my God. I don't know if y'all are aware. If, you know, I'm sorry, if you got A&E, honey, you might want to check it out, okay? It's called Secrets of Playboy. Okay, now, most of us are affiliated in knowing about Playboy the magazine. Then there were, you know, there were major resorts, okay? There were resorts all over, including the Caribbean. There were resorts upstate in Great Gorge. There's resorts in Nevada and Vegas. There's one in L.A. The mansion was in Hollywood, California. He had another resort in Jamaica, West Indies. Like, it was real, okay? Live and direct. But most people weren't really privy to just how disgusting the Playboy empire actually was, how gangster and even, what's the word I will call it? Mafia-like, because it was like a cult. So I'm going to break some of that down for you, because I don't know if you knew, and you might not have time to watch it, but it was interesting. Now, Hugh Hefner, which was the creator of Playboy magazine, he was a mogul and, of course, the owner of all the clubs and resorts. He died in 2017 at age 91. How convenient. And I say how convenient because I feel like there, of course, was ample information out when he was alive as to what was actually going on. But so many people would either just get excommunicated, okay, or paid off or whatever, that everything just kind of stayed under wraps. So now that he's dead, all the little ex-bunnies and the Playboy sweethearts and all these chicks want to come out and just sing like canaries now. And I'm like, wow, this is interesting. And even when I'm watching it, I'm looking at them like, okay, but you stayed. Because it's different if you don't stay. But they kind of, you know, some of them were there for years. Like, you got trapped in this thing and you stayed. And really, we're talking about the best whorehouse that you've ever heard of. And I'm not being facetious. Okay, y'all want to talk about, I remember the best little whorehouse in Texas musical. No, this is the most amazing whorehouse of America. Real talk. And it was just really kind of nasty. And as I said at the top of the show in mentioning it, that it is amazing what white wealth and power can get away with, okay? Because Hugh Hefner was a nasty, hot mess. Now, Bill Cosby and R. Kelly didn't have the same chances. I'm not condoning their behavior or their actions in any way. I'm not. But what I am saying is that this man did far worse over a very, very long period of time and never got caught, never had a situation. When women died that were living at the Playboy Mansion. All kind of craziness was going on in that place, and it made it all look like it was all good. Okay? So what I definitely found was that the Playboy Mansion was definitely a breeding den for any STD, okay? And the clubs and the resorts failed grossly to protect any of the women who worked there, especially the bunnies. Okay, the bunny life was not all what it was cracked up to be. That's for sure. All right? And most recently, the Playboy twins who claimed that they were abused by Hugh Hefner today reveal that they intend to sue the brand, okay, as they lift the lid on his quote-unquote sex cult. So Carissa and Christina Shannon alleged that they were first lured to sleep with Hefner on their 19th birthday, then pushed into unprotected group sex and plied with alcohol and drugs. They say the magazine and TV tycoon had a black soul, quote-unquote, and the experience left them suffering from PTSD, depression, and needing counseling. When Hefner died in 2017 at age 91, the twins were glad that no other girls could suffer. Carissa says that she fell pregnant at 19 when he was 83 years old, and she said, it felt like I was carrying the devil's child. She had an abortion without him ever knowing. Lord have his mercy. Christina tells the Sunday Mirror that Hef acted like he owned you. If we broke his rules, six guards would drag us to our room and wouldn't let us leave. Hef called it an HMF arrest after his initials. He preyed on vulnerable young girls like us. He would offer you to the world, then keep you trapped in his house, which was like a golden prison. When Hef died, part of us did feel sad, but another part was like, okay, good, no more girls are going to be groomed and ruined like we were. I thought Playboy was one big family. Now I can see it was just a cult, end quote. The twins, who are now 32, plan to sue Playboy for emotional distress and trauma. Christina adds, we were playmates, employed, and everything happened at that mansion. So we wanted to go after them. We're speaking out because we want people to know who he truly was and what was going on behind closed doors. Carissa says that when first lured to his bedroom, he gave them drugs, which left them fuzzy and loose. She adds, it was creepy and gross. We felt filthy, disgusted, and like our bodies weren't ours. The sisters claim Hefner acted like a king, told them to call him Papa, and that he groomed them, drawing parallels with other powerful tycoons like Harvey Weinstein and Jeffrey Epstein. Playboy Mansion cult confesses humiliating sex rituals, abuse, and bullying. Hugh Hefner's Playboy Mansion was strewn with dog poo and dirty sex toys. The bunnies who lived alongside him forced to endure emotional and sexual abuse and pitted them against each other, according to explosive claims that they have since made. Baby? For years, Playboy founder Hugh Hefner lived in a life of luxury as a millionaire in a lavish mansion surrounded by beautiful women who were at his beck and call and throwing decadent parties. But it was a very different story when it came to the bunnies who lived by his side. Their lives were blighted by intense pressure to look perfect, humiliating sexual experiences, and an inability to live independently or leave, they've claimed. As well as Hefner's girlfriends, which included Kendra Wilson, Holly Madison, and Bridget Marquardt, several other women known as playmates or bunnies lived in this brawling L.A. property. Some have spoken and claimed they were expected to have sex with much older Hefner, who died at 91. In 2017. On Monday 31 January, an explosive new documentary, Secrets of Playboy, is set to air. Baby, it's airing, honey. It's actually on right now. And what's deep is that I found that, though, you know, Hugh Hefner was 27 when he created Playboy. Now, he was a bit of an odd man out. He wasn't a very handsome person, okay? Even when he was younger, he wasn't that handsome. And apparently he had had his heart broken by this one woman that he wanted to be with. And when she turned him down, I guess he just pressed the effort button and then came up with this whole idea about taking pictures of naked women and aligning himself with moguls and other stars and what have you to give himself more power, and then he could have all the women that he wanted. He was born out of a wealthy family anyway. He wasn't poor. So he just decided to do this. But in doing so, he definitely destroyed a lot of women's lives. You know, I mean, if you're young and you meet him at like 19, 18, and he's this millionaire, and, you know, you allow yourself to get in his clutches, so to speak, I'm like, woof, it could be unsettling, it could be nasty for you, you know. And then they had the whole bunny cleanup crew and, you know, the women who had to take care of the girls if the girls had been accosted, drugged, raped, beat up, whatever. Nothing ever made it to the hospital. Nothing made it to a police department. Okay? They would just literally have to clean up the girls until they were in a state of mind and having a physical look with no bruises or no scratches or whatever, then they could go back to doing what they were doing. It's deep. It's very, very deep. And to me, it gets disgusting. And so, you know, you had, I think that he deliberately pit the women against each other so that he could make himself feel better. It was all ego. It was all ego and power. You know, and because nothing really came out in the media that was ever so terrible, they always just believed, oh, well, he's not, you know, he's a nice man. I'm like, woof. You know, and there were, like I said, there were definitely playmates that had overdosed and committed suicide in the Playboy Mansion. Real talk. And he had bunnies of every color. Okay? So all of the women that were living in the mansion were expected to have sex with him. He demanded group sex at least 5 nights a week. Okay? He would host weekly pig nights, P-I-G, where he would bring in a dozen ugly sex workers to have sex with his friends, and he called it pig night. This is heavy. There's a book that's called Down the Rabbit Hole, Curious Adventures and a Cautionary Tale of a Former Playboy Bunny. Okay? And she states that girlfriends would change into identical flannel pajamas before having, like, these little orgies and stuff. Okay? He would watch porn, smoke weed, and masturbate while the girls would kiss each other all around him, she alleged. Okay, Holly is speaking. This is, I think, Holly Madison. She claimed they would take turns pleasing him, but he always finished by himself. There was zero intimacy involved. There was no kissing, no real love. Like, oh, God. And then she said there was no protection used, no testing. This was said by Carla Howe. While Kendra said she found the sex so unbearable, she couldn't stay sober for it. Okay, Kendra wrote a book, Being Kendra, Cribs, Cocktails, and Getting My Sexy Back. She said, I had to be very drunk or smoke a lot of weed to survive those nights. There was no way around it. In another book, Sliding Into Home, she added, at about the minute mark, I pulled away and it was done. It was like a job, clock in, clock out. It's not like I enjoyed having sex with him. Carla also told The Mirror, it's like being with a granddad. Not long ago, they called in the nurse because he had fallen in the grotto. In the headboard behind his bed, he kept sexual apparatuses like dildos, nipple clips, whips, straps, and it was the job of the unlucky valet, Stefan Tettenbaum, to pick them all up and give them to the maids to clean after an orgy. I'm like, oh, God, this is so gross. And I'm only sharing this because we're talking about the opulence of white wealth. This man, and so think about Donald J. Trump. Just trying, you know, even though I don't think Hef ever tried to run for office. But, you know, that saying that they have, you know, power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. Serious. And so, you know, we've been driving up to the Playboy Mansion, which is so opulent and so huge, like it's a very vast property. It's gorgeous. You know, people would think that big metal gate was to, like, you know, keep the press out and keep people out. Lots of the girls felt like it was to keep them in. It was meant to keep them locked in because they had curfews. They could enjoy nights out. You know what I'm saying? If he took them all out. Okay. But Kendra Wilson says that she had to be home by 9 o'clock, which made her feel trapped and that no other men were permitted to enter the mansion at sometimes. You know? And so some of the other playmates could go out and party, but she would have to be home by 9. You know, and then she get a text message from one of the girls that said, having much fun in Vegas, wish you were here, you know, partying with all these football players. She's like, and that was devastating. She said she just felt so trapped, you know. And like I said, this one here, he was a piece. The things that he did and the things that he had these girls do, oh, my word. Again, they weren't permitted to really have friends. He didn't like them having friends. He didn't like them having friends over. You know, there was a very strict code of conduct. There was a whole book that they had to follow in order to stay. Okay, if they gained 5 pounds and didn't get it off in a certain amount of time, they would get demerits. Like, all kind of just really wild, wildness as far as I'm concerned. It's all about money. You're like, really, this is all about money? Come on, man. Like, this is deep. You know, and then whenever he was interviewed, you know, they could be around him, but they basically had to stay silent and just look pretty. Okay. He loved mostly the blonde ones. He would mess with the brunettes. Yes, he did. But he loved the blonde ones. And as most of you probably know, once you got to the end, when you get to the television shows, the Playmates, the Girls Next Door, all that stuff, they all kind of look the same. Okay, they weren't allowed to own their own car. Sometimes he would make them feel bad about how they looked. Okay, he would survey their reaction sometimes. You know, if they, like I said, if they gained any weight, they would get in so much trouble. It's wild. There was one bunny, her name was Bunny Jackie, and she was a black woman, and it was during the 60s. In 1967, she was at the New York Club, and L.A. Club, and she became a trainer as well, you know, and she said it really wasn't so bad, but her worst incident was when she had gotten invited to a party by one of the other bunnies, and unfortunately she was drugged and raped repeatedly for like 3 days, okay? And they talked about like how they had to serve and how they had to sit and how they had to hold themselves in this high regard, but yet and still they were these, you know, sexual objects basically. And what's heavy is that I remember in the 70s, late 70s, when we went to Jamaica, my family, and because, you know, I'm Jamaican and Dominican. And so we were in Jamaica, and we are at the Playboy Resort, okay? And, I mean, I just thought these women were so beautiful. You know, they all pretty much had, like, the same kind of body type, and they were just tall with long legs and the bunny costume and all of this. And I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God. So then we learned that one of our cousins was a bunny, and she was Miss Bunny and, you know, Miss Playboy Bunny of the Year and all this kind of stuff. She was gorgeous. I mean, she was so, so beautiful. You know, a black woman, beautiful. And I was like, oh, my God. You know, and we're thinking as young children that this is something that's, like, so amazing and you know, like it was a position to have. And I was like, oh, my God, to learn all of this stuff all these years later about how horrible it was. You know, just little things and him being so controlling. But the illest part that I want to shine light on is the fact that all of these young white girls were vying for this man's affection and attention, and that he would give them an allowance of $1,000 a week on Fridays usually. Now, if you were smart and you banked your cash, because $1,000 a week is not bad. So if you're making $4,000 a month and you're not doing anything except what you're doing, unfortunately. But stack that loot then and get out. But to tell, oh, I felt trapped and I was this and I was that, and you're there for like 8 years, I'm like, okay. And then I look at them now and I'm like, you know, most of you became quote-unquote stars based on laying on your back and playing around with this man and, you know, being at his whim, if you will. So, again, I start by saying, like, it was like an amazing little whorehouse. It was a mansion, you know. It was supposed to be high class and high sedity, and everybody and their grandmother would be there. Regis Philbin was there. Martin Sheen brought the boys up. You know, of course, Cosby was there. Don Cornelius, Sammy Davis Jr., like, all of the stars were there. And if you were a superstar, you didn't have to pay for membership at all. If you were a Gold Key member, then you did not pay anything. You just got showered with service and pampering, and you could take pictures with the girls and all this other kind of stuff. Regular people, regular members, no, they couldn't touch bunnies. You know, they weren't allowed to really interact with the bunnies. But if you were the Gold Carrying Key member, then it was no holds barred. That's heavy. That was heavy. And he would constantly pit all of the girls against each other so that they would vie for the top spot. So he would always turn them against each other. So they didn't even have camaraderie amongst themselves. It was hard to make friends. You know, you didn't know that you couldn't trust anybody. Okay? And what's heavy, again, is that so many of the former girlfriends, quote-unquote playmates or whatever, state that, you know, although this mansion had 22 bedrooms and swimming pools and all this other kind of stuff, it was disgusting inside. Like, how is there dog poo everywhere in a mansion? Okay, and there's porn all over the room because the two dogs were never, ever house trained that were in the house. Okay, there was dirty carpets and, even though they would do their rooms, you know, and try to decorate their little spaces, make them like homey, their beds were disgusting. They were old and worn and stained, and the sheets were past their prime. What? Now, I ain't getting $1,000 a week, and I'm not getting new sheets. I'm sorry. I don't know what they're doing. But when they would go to get their money, he would always tell them about their, whatever they were doing wrong. I was like, work. Like, it's just, it's gross. I'm just, when you get into it, you're like, oh, God. And this is about money, 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 money. I mean, money. One of the girls even, like, quit her job as a waitress because he was jealous. It made him jealous for her to be a waitress working somewhere else. Really? Okay. You know, and I'm just saying, this is what that type of money will do, that money and that power. And it's really sad because someone like himself, you know, maybe if he had lived a little bit longer, you know, he might have been in a situation where he would have found himself being, you know, having charges pressed against him, you know, like Epstein and Weinstein, Cosby, and R. Kelly, and these other sexual predators, perhaps. But the fact that he lived and died with nothing. Now, you know, his afterlife is another story, but I'm just saying, he lived and died, and all this stuff was done to all these women. And he did now. That's heavy. That's it's just, it's amazing to me when I think about it and I look at it and I'm just like, okay. I'm like, woo, you know, oh, what a tangled web we weave, you know? And I mean, it just continued for so many years. We're not even talking about a 5-year stint, fam. We're talking about like over 20 years. Talk to your daughters and be careful out there because you never know. And all that glitters is not gold. Remember that one. You know, I'm going to see if I can open a line. 862-766. 862-766. Are you with me, darling? 862-766. Are you there? 862-766. Are you there? Your line is open. All righty, I tried.
Hello.
Hey, is that you? Hello. Hello. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Yes, there you go, sis. How are you?
I'm doing good, sis. How's everything?
Everything is great. Thank you. I was like, I saw you on here, and I was like, let me say hi. Let me open up her line.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was trying to unmute.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying the
show? Very enlightening. I had no idea what some of the things that you were talking about with Hugh Hefner and the Playboy bunnies. I thought they, you know, it was just
okay.
Models and beauty and like a living pageantly, you know.
Right.
Right.
How about now?
Right. I'll tell you, like, unfortunately, the guy that killed himself in jail.
Jeffrey Epstein.
Yes. He will not be prosecuted for the things, the crimes that he's committed. And,
right.
You know, just like Hugh Hefner died before, you know,
right.
Any of these things were revealed, you know. But
yeah.
He had a whole island in the Virgin Islands, and it was
well
known.
Yes. Pedal Island. Mm-hmm. He had Pedal Island, and Hugh Hefner had all the resorts, the clubs, and his mansion.
Right.
And Epstein had other properties, too, because he had one in Nevada, he had one in Miami. Because remember, his first sexual abuse with a minor case was in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Epstein, his first
offense.
And then, what you call it, he had, oh, my goodness, He had that lawyer. I can see his face now because he's older. But anyway, it's not coming to me. He had a really amazing lawyer, which really got him off. He didn't even have to register as a sex offender, although he had been found guilty of having sex with a minor in Florida. Mm-hmm. And it was more than one girl because, you know, he liked to have a lot of them. And so it's a very interesting parallel because even with Epstein, they said that he used to have sex 5 times a day.
Really?
Apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And with Hefner, he had several nights a week, but of course he's much older. So I guess he's trying not to have a heart attack, but still, he gonna get it in though.
Right.
The fact that he never used protection in all these orgies is very unsettling. I was like, oh my God. You know, and when I look at him when he was younger, he looks like a weird pervert.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, right. Okay? He's got that high Cro-Magnon type of brow, okay? It kind of hangs over a little. His eyes are beady and shiftless, just saying. And some of his facial expressions definitely lent themselves to, like, him looking like more of a sociopath. Just in terms of human behavior and how he looked.
Right.
You know, and then he always smoked that pipe.
Right.
So like I said, he got his heart broken by some woman when he was younger, before he turned 27. And then once that happened, it was no holds barred. I guess he figured women to be objectified, although it was misconstrued as a sexual revolution type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it wasn't a sexual revolution type of thing because, number one, you have these women on display. They have to walk a certain way, sit a certain way, serve a certain way, all this kind of stuff. It's very misogynistic
right.
when you think about it, right?
Because right.
you don't have male bunnies. You didn't have men dressed similarly like the Chippendale models wear black pants with the cuffs on their wrists with no shirt and a collar. The bunny costume was a bodysuit, a strapless bodysuit with a collar and a bow tie and a little cuffs around the wrist, bunny ears, and a cottontail.
Right.
And pump and black stockings. All of the bunnies wore black stockings.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Like, we're talking about a play on sexual sociology.
Now, all of them live there in the mansion?
A lot of them live there. Not all of them, no. Mm. Uh-uh. If you were a cocktail waitress bunny at a club, then you went home.
Right.
But he often kept his own little flock at the mansion, which he would rotate out. And he would have a head girlfriend, like a top girl. But then Ooh. All the other ones under him would be vying for that spot.
So he was,
so it was like a barrel. They'll throw each other under the bus in a minute. They fought. They had arguments. You know, they weren't friends with each other, even though they're always smiling all cute in the picture. But, no, there were fights. There were disagreements, you know, all kind of stuff. There was a lot of jealousy, you know, a lot of very ill behavior because they were trying to get that top spot.
Right.
Now, even up to the story that I read about the twins that are 32 now, but they met him when they were 19. You 19 years old and you're having sex with an 83-year-old. Why?
Right. Why?
Money. This is money. And so I'm using this and I'm talking about this so much, not because I give a damn about the Playboy story. I'm using this and I'm talking about this because I really want to show how women can allow themselves to get trapped in situations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And really, you're hoeing out.
Right.
I could push the envelope further and say white women. I could do that because most of these women were white. All the playmates were white. None of the women that lived in the house were black.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay? So the bunnies and the clubs and stuff, some of them, and the resorts, some of them were black. But they were more or less like cocktail waitresses.
Mm-hmm.
The bunnies slash playmates, that's why they're called playmates. They lived in the mansion, and they were all expected to have sex with him. And what I learned in the television expose was that he loved to have anal sex. And I'm just like, whoa. Like, regardless of how quick he was or not, I'm not getting into that part, but just the fact that you still did it. Like, this is what you all did regularly. And this took the place of you paying rent someplace.
Right.
You moved in.
Right.
No, you know what I'm saying? And you got your $1,000 a week. And you to me, you must have been okay with it. Like, you want to throw him all under the bus now.
Mm-hmm.
But how much did he make?
Right.
And I know that it was a power game. And that's why they always said that they had no rights. They couldn't go to the police. But I'm like, but you could have. But, you know, they all just had it in their mind from a psychological standpoint that he's too powerful. I'm going to lose. Who's going to believe me? Like, this is a reoccurring statement that I'm finding them say. Like, who's going to believe me?
Mm.
So they decided not to do anything. But I'm like, okay, those are the ones who were accosted in some type of way. Like, there was one story where there was about three or four of them, and they were told by some men that the men were Gold Key members and that they were looking for actresses for a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so they fell for it, and they went to this cabin in the woods upstate, and they were drugged and tied and hog-tied, I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and, you know, and raped and what have you repeatedly for about 3 to 4 days.
And he had to know what was going
back
on.
And talked about what happened. They got fired.
Mm.
Now, to me, there was enough of them to put together a case for themselves because there was at least three or four of you that this happened to. So
mm-hmm.
to me, I'm thinking, okay, well, why don't you form a united front and go to the police department because it's four of you who this happened to. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You might even be able to have a toxicology test done to see if you still have these drugs in your system that you were shot up with to make you go unconscious and to have a train run on you for days.
They were probably given
testimony. Right. Probably, but I do know they got fired.
Mm-hmm.
There's many other stories that are like this that happened to many of these girls. They also didn't protect them. So after hours, okay, you're getting off work at 2 o'clock in the morning, you were bunny, you're walking to the parking lot, there's no security. So bunnies would get accosted in the parking lot. They get raped in their own car in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just craziness.
Yeah.
And yet, hush, 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 he did, and you can't press charges against him. Even these little chicks talking about they want to press charges against Playboy, the new owners of Playboy don't have an affiliation with Hefta.
Mm-hmm.
They just own the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to try to sue them for his behavior. That's probably not going to work.
Right, right.
You get it? You know what I'm saying? Because he's dead. He was the one that did these things and let all this stuff go. You know, he had a lot of ex-detectives and ex-police officers from L.A. on his security staff. You know, they were, all of them sworn to secrecy. Nobody would allow anybody's ill-gotten or ill-fated story to reach the press or to reach the police department. None. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Right. Did you hear about recently the, I don't know if it was in Alabama, they had a big soiree. There were judges and, people from the police department there. And the sheriff fondled a black judge, a black female judge.
Alrighty now.
Yes. And the police tried to cover it up. He wasn't arrested or anything until later, because the judge didn't let it go.
Mm-mm,
I don't know
mm-mm.
how many people heard about that, but
you know, mother's about Oh, honey. Mother's Googling. That's hell. In Alabama.
Right. Alabama.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Good old.
He was drunk and ended up fondling her. And, yeah.
What was he? He was a sheriff? What was he?
He was a sheriff from another area. I don't know. There was people there from all over. But he was definitely a sheriff. Oh.
Lord. Well, wonders never cease. Okay. Georgia Sheriff Christopher Cody.
Right. Georgia.
So, let's see here. This just in, family. let's see. Georgia Sheriff Christopher Cody allegedly groped a judge at a police meeting. Of course, they say allegedly. A Georgia County mayor is accused, accused of harassing a prominent local judge at last month's annual law enforcement conference. Christopher Cody, the Bleakley County Sheriff, has been charged with sexual offense after allegedly fondling a judge at a hotel bar at the Renaissance Waverly Atlanta Hotel in Cobb County in January during the three-day Georgia Sheriff's Association winter meeting. The identity of the judge has not been revealed. But you know what it is.
Right. She was a black female.
His arrest on January 28th.
Right.
What happened when you...
And when was the meeting?
The meeting was... It doesn't say when the meeting was.
Okay.
Apparently, because a warrant was issued on the 28th. And, according to records obtained by WXIA, Cody, has a history of inappropriate behavior. In 2007, an incident occurred. He was involved in an argument with a friend in which the friend hit Cody's 12-year-old son in the face in front of his 10-year-old daughter, according to reports. Cody left the scene with his son and refused to cooperate with the investigators. He refused to tell his supervisor that he was under investigation and had been questioned by the police. During the investigation, Cody's ex-wife filed a criminal complaint against him for allowing his 12-year-old daughter to drive his police cruiser on the highway. Oh, good Lord. Really? Like, who does these things? And his bail is set at $1,000. That's measly. Okay, that's measly when you think about it. So that was one story. Interesting.
Now, if she was driving while he was in the car, he was probably drunk and she had to drive.
Maybe so. But I'm like, 12? Really? You let your 12-year-old drive your cruiser? Holla. Saying. Okay. Girl, why is Clarence Thomas come up in this Google search? That's just terrible. I'm like, he wasn't, okay. I'm not sure how I'm talking about. I'm not talking about him. Oh, Lord. Yeah. Well, let's continue to follow this one. But, that was the only thing I saw. I don't see anything else, but I'm waiting. I'm going to see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, but they're not saying that he just groped a black judge. You know what I'm saying? They're just saying groped a judge. You know, and again, she black. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's that about? And this is what I'm saying. There's so many things are coming out, which I think is awesome. Because... again, you know, we're in the age of Aquarius, so stuff is popping right now. And I just find it interesting, as I mentioned at the top of the show when I was talking about Whoopi, you know. I'm like, wow, y'all are really carrying over this. And you want to frame it like she's an anti-Semitic individual. And I keep trying to tell people, black people can't be anti-Semitic because it's the Semite who's got half black blood.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means.
Right.
So now, you're trying to tell me I hate myself now. I hate myself.
Right.
You know, again, as I said, the original Jew, the original Judaic practitioner is a melanated African.
Right.
Israel sits on the northernmost tectonic plate of the continent of Africa. Period. Real talk. Israel is not, so this is why I can't stand it when they want to separate Israel and Egypt from Africa. I'm like, you're crazy. They are there. You can't
right.
separate. Israel is not an island.
Right.
And
you know,
it's stolen land.
Right. And the whole thing is, okay, it's the view. She was giving her view on it, and they were having a discussion. How come nobody asked her, Whoopi, well, can you elaborate on what it is you're saying? You know what I'm saying?
No, everybody just jumped all over her, and I feel like she allowed herself to become flustered, and then I get a little tight because, like I said, she didn't hit him with the whammy, because the whammy is they're not a race of people. They're a religious group of people.
Right. Although they were racist people and they had it in for many different races, it was an ethnic cleansing that they were trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know? And when you go, if you read Mein Kampf and if you read other books that have statements from Hitler and statements from the Third Reich and what have you, you will be kind of taken aback as to why they came to the conclusion that they came to. I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying what it was. And that's when I talked about the Talmud and how the Talmud is grossly different than from the Torah. Grossly. And it allows certain practices that we would consider to be heinous and disgusting and barbaric and horrific to actually happen.
Right.
And so that's part of it. I'm not giving anybody a pass, but I'm just saying that's part of it. And we don't get that dialogue when we learn about the Third Reich and Hitler. We don't get that dialogue. We just get that they hated Jewish people and they hated da-da-da-da-da and they wanted to do ethnic cleansing. The why is the other part.
Right.
Now, and like I said, giving Boo Boo a pass. I'm just saying what it is.
Yeah. The crimes against humanity, even slavery should have been a crime against humanity.
Of course. And again, this is the ill part. This, you know, I'm saying the illest because so many European Jews had their hand in the slave trade. They were making millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
They were helping to build the ships to bring Africans over here and enslave them throughout all of the Americas, Central America, South America, and the Caribbean.
Right.
And a lot of it was popping off in Rhode Island. Mm. A lot of it.
Right.
But they wanted to always make it seem like it's the South. It's the South. The South was this. The South was that. No, boo-boo. Mm-mm. Slavery was this whole entire coast.
Right.
And from the Ruta to the Tuta, it was popping.
Mm.
They were all making their money off of us. They were
right.
also making their money off of displacing Native Black American people as well. They were very influential in that. And so what bothers me about the modern day quote-unquote Jewish person or peoples is that they like to play the piety card. They want to pull the piety card. They want to pull the victim card a lot.
Mm.
It's not, you know, I mean, it's just what it is, but they do. Even in business, they do. They whine and everything and da-da-da. Oh, you're killing me, da-da-da-da-da. Like, stop. When, like I said previously, if you get your hands on, and you can Google now, the Protocols of Zion, the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, it's many pages, but read it.
Mm-hmm.
Learn the whole skinny right there. It's very pinky in the brain, and they definitely said, we are going to take over the world. We'll run the media, entertainment, movies, music, everything. We'll run it all. The news, whatever the news is what we tell them. Everything. We will control it all. And we will run, we will rule the world by way of brute force and make believe. That's a quote.
Right.
So I'm like, let us not be swayed. Let us not be naive. Let us not look upon it and be like, oh, well, you know, that was a long time ago. And no. It's current. It's relevant.
Right.
Seemingly so, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
No, and here we are. So we'll see. You know what I mean? Again, you know, we can't say anything about the Holocaust. Like, we can't say nothing about the Holocaust, but you want me to be quiet about slavery.
Right.
You want me to never forget the Holocaust, but you want me to forget slavery.
Right.
That's interesting and oxymoronic to me.
Right. And we're back to banning books. I have a book about Rosa Parks for children, and that's amongst the book sets that's being banned. Like, it's just crazy. You know, they talk about the 1619 Project and the critical race theory, which is not even being taught in school, in elementary school levels, you know. Somebody...
But to me, this is my issue with the critical race theory, because that was anti-critical race theory if we are not the ones writing about it. We should be the ones to develop that curriculum. And, yeah, maybe it could be done in tandem with some other individuals who are non-black. But who best to recite this narrative than the individuals who were so vastly and grossly affected by it? That'd be us.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Like, I started off with, I had my little black fact and talked about, like, the, you know, D-Day and what have you with the children. A lot of people don't even know about that. I didn't get that in school.
No, I just learned about it today.
Oh, okay, Helen, see. I learned about it through my mother, you know what I mean, being the African historian that she was, the African history historian that she was. But most of us we didn't get that in elementary school. I didn't even get that in college. Just saying.
Right.
So, again, if you can have a monopoly on education and textbooks and what have you, you've got the gross monopoly on it. And if you control that, then you're going to control the minds of the children.
Right, right.
Who later on become adults who are ignorant and don't have knowledge itself. And that's why everybody want to be all excited. You know, that's why I said, that's why I think we over-mimic as a society. We over-mimic our oppressor.
Mm-hmm.
That's from, you know, psychological warfare, like a mug.
Right.
Like a mug.
Right.
And I talked about the young girl with the plastic surgery nightmares, you know. And then there was another one who was a white woman whose husband, bust this, her husband wanted her to get her breast done. And so she did. But it was the most horrible, botched up job. It was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Then it just completely killed their sex life, because then he gets upset because he doesn't like what he sees. And I'm like, how dare you even ask her to do that?
Right.
What is wrong with you that you can't accept your wife for what she really looks like after having your kids?
Mm-hmm.
Why? What's the problem? See, you're living in Barbie world. You're living in Barbie world. How
right.
dare you suggest to your wife that she get her breasts done and you want this and you want that? See, and they were white.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think that people start to develop these false senses of reality and these false senses of who they're supposed to look like. And I'm like, if you really let gravity just do its thing, it, you know, it's going to do what it does. It's just going to be. Why should we be racing to counteract that? I'm not racing to counteract aging.
Mm-hmm.
It is a natural progression. But Europeans have thrust this now on everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
that you got Botox injections and stuff in your forehead and your cheeks and under your eyes and all this other kind of stuff. You don't want to have wrinkles. Now I'm seeing more, like, young black girls in these commercials about wrinkles. And I'm like, first of all, black ain't really cracking like that. Second of all, why are you using somebody who's even young? Like, why are you pushing this on young people?
Right.
Like, wrinkles are a sign of life. It's what happens to us, period. I don't care. Why you, you know what I mean? But they run so far away from it. And the European mindset is so afraid to get old and die.
Mm-hmm.
When the African mindset looks forward to being an elder.
Yes.
We ain't rushing to death, no. But the older I get, the wiser I am. The more amazing I become, like fine wine, like a real good cognac.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not looking at myself like, oh, my God, I'm getting older, I'm falling apart. Hell no. I'm getting better. I'm getting wiser. I'm getting stronger. Like, it's ridiculous. And so you're pushing this on women. You're pushing it now on men because you got men in the Botox commercial now.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Baby, if you are 50-something years old and you happen to have two or three chins, well, you got two or three chins. It's okay. Okay, if your breasts are not perky and happy and waving hello like they used to and they're falling down, that's just what happens. It happens
right.
to men's testicles, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. Ain't nothing
right.
supposed to stay the same. You know, so even if I go back to the crazy, nasty, damn near pedophilia, Hugh Hefner, you never had girlfriends your own age.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe when you were 27 and they were, but they were always younger. And then the older he got, they just kept getting younger.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you're building up this fantasy life for yourself with this mansion and this money and all this stuff. And, you know, you're taking advantage of young women's minds and bodies. And you're creating a culture, basically, that
yeah.
is very disingenuous and disrespectful to women, even though it's sort of centered around women's liberation. It's not about women's liberation. Because if they were liberated, then they would have had keys to be able to come and go.
Right.
If they were
right.
liberated, they would have been able to bounce when they wanted to, and they wouldn't have felt so much pressure. If they were liberated.
Right.
You get me?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And then he would still never even address a woman as a woman. They were all girls.
Mm.
So what if one of them turned around and just called him a boy?
Hmm. Right.
You get me?
Yeah.
That's ill, yo. That's something else. So you put it under the guise of women's liberation. It had nothing to do with women's liberation. Aside
right.
from the fact that wearing a bunny costume is not going to be, it doesn't seem to be liberating to me. But, you know, it was funky at the time in the 70s. You know, it was like, ooh, and they were iconic. I remember my father's coffee stirrers. Like, they got a whole bunch of coffee stirrers with the little bunnies on top. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
But none of it was associated with what has come to light.
Mm.
And as time went on, I began to look at him like he was crazy because he always wore pajamas all the time.
Right, and a smoking jacket.
Right, smoking jackets and pajamas. And you put on a suit to go out. And then all of you are going out together and you trying to dance and you acting like you at the disco and what have you. And you ain't got no rhythm and you ain't rocking, but whatever. And they're just all around him. I'm like, okay. Like, whoa.
Right.
Very
and
deep.
Right. And he became old. Wasn't attractive, so
right.
you know the
and
whole
was so
idea what money can do for you.
Come, hello, this is what I said. It's amazing what white wealth can get away with.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, and everybody wants to make a whole stink about Bill Cosby and R. Kelly. This trumps that, as far as I'm concerned. All day.
Right.
I'm not condoning anyone's behavior again. I got to keep saying that, but ultimately, this trumps that. We're talking about over 25 years of this type of hellation.
Right. Right.
Like, whoa. Okay.
Now,
when Oprah Winfrey had people coming on her show talking about what R. Kelly did and what Bill Cosby did, not once did she have anybody come on there talk about what Epstein did and
or even her friend Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, yeah, Harvey Weinstein.
He was nasty, too. He got mad stories. Do we hear any of, did she expose him at all? No.
No.
Mm-mm. She wants to come after the black men.
Right.
She didn't even touch Epstein or Weinstein, but you want to ream on Cosby and R. Kelly. Really? Interesting.
Right.
I'm like, okay. All right. You know, so I don't know. I got about 10 minutes left. I want to open up Doc's line. Thank you so much,
sister.
I love it when you join me. Thank you for your awesome commentary and energy. You know, because this is a show. This is a real show, and I love it when my family comes on. So I know that you're going to stay with us for the last 10 minutes. But I love you, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, peace, sis.
Peace, my darling. I'll talk to you soon, too, okay?
Okay.
Okay, honey. All right, Dr. Winborn, 973-640, 973-640. Alamo, are you with me? I know it's 10 minutes, I know.
Peace.
Hey, Doc.
Great. How you doing tonight?
Peace and blessings, sir. How's everything?
Oh, man, I am blessed, thank you. Just sitting here taking it all in.
I know that's right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'm happy that you were able to join us this week. You know, I just figured I would have a moment and do a little expose. You know, it was interesting as I have been, you know, watching this Playboy show and stuff, and then I find out about Whoopi getting in trouble for saying what she says, and I'm like, she's suspended from work for 2 weeks over that. Are you serious?
Yeah.
I was like, wow, like they really got their little panties in a bunch. She didn't even say anything that crazy.
No, I mean, I listened to like, okay, well, what did she say? She said it's
right.
Not about race. Well, it wasn't about race. You know, I mean, it was about, I mean, listen, don't nobody want to say it, right? Okay.
I know.
So I'm going to put it out there. Part of what Hitler and them said that they was doing, the reason why they was killing these individuals, is because they were liars.
Mm-hmm.
And they were perpetrating to be people who they were not. And they were perpetrating to be us, and they were not. And they knew that. Now, that's no reason to kill all those millions and millions of people. I'm not justifying it.
But put the hammer down. Like, come on, Doc.
I'm just explaining the reason.
Mm-hmm.
They knew from the beginning that Negroes, Blacks, Hebrews, were of color, but from Africa,
right,
and not from the Ashkenazi Mountains up in Russia. They knew that. And so that was part of it. And you know, and so again, like I said, I'm not justifying anything, but
right,
I'm explaining to you part of what the reasons why they were doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Or even if it was an excuse. So it was
right.
No reason. They said they didn't like them, but that was the excuse that they used. And so, you know, that was that. So, you know, but they suspended her for that. Why? Because these are the people that are running the media.
Uh-huh. That's what I said.
Okay.
And
so,
I also know that Hitler and them also were tight about the Talmud and the practices of the Talmud that certain Jewish sects were actually practicing. That, too. So
right,
aside from being an imposter, but you're also doing some interesting, heinous type of activity. And it's like, no.
Right.
It's like it's combinative, you know. But, like, as you said, I love the fact that you pulled out, you know, the fact that they knew that they weren't the original Jewish people anyway. They knew they weren't the original Hebrew. And that's why it always bugged me out that the word Nazi was at the end of Ashkenazi.
Right. Right.
And the Ashkenazi Jews family are the European Jew. The white, pale-skinned European Jew is Ashkenazi Jew.
They're converts into Judaism.
Right.
Okay. So.
Mm-hmm. And then you stop and then take over.
Right. Well, I mean, listen, you know, you steal the identity of a people.
Mm.
You can steal another people's land and then say that it's yours. So, you take one group of people's identity, you take another group of people's land, and then just claim it and just say God said that you can have it.
Right.
Yeah, but that's a whole other, claim. That's a whole other story we can get into later. But you were saying how Clarence Thomas was coming up in the Google search.
Yes, yes, he was.
Well, what's going on with Clarence? They done found out that Clarence's wife was playing an intricate role in the January 6th insurrection.
Awesome. All righty. Oh, you can't make this up. Go ahead.
Okay, so that's what all the buzz is about old Clarence. His wife is out there. Okay. So that's those are the things that caught my attention. And when I came in, I had to leave because duty was
calling. I saw you dancing in and out, but I was like, I was just hoping you were going to come back.
Yeah. And I was here when you was talking about your boy Hef and his shenanigans.
No, really.
But,
and it's just amazing because this expose is definite exposure, like indecent exposure. Like, yeah, that's what this is today.
Yeah. But the major problem that I have with it is that all of these, like you said, all of these guys are out there doing this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the only people you see in jail are the brothers.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you say what you want. Me personally, I have trouble believing that Epstein is dead. That's just me. He would you want to believe.
Hey, it wouldn't be, listen, cause he had enough money to go to an island and live there forever.
Live forever, get his face changed, make arrangements, make sure he got out of there. If I don't get out of there, we're going to live there forever. If I'm going to expose everybody in the book. Okay. Everybody going down. Y'all don't get me out.
Everybody going down.
All right.
Lord.
Y'all going to understand why I'm building that dress when I get finished. Okay. And I believe that the threat should have also been that if something happened to me, it's still going to come out.
Right.
So you better
right.
make sure nothing happens to me. Okay, you think Prince Andrew is bad?
That's what I'm saying. And he's so untouchable. Come on.
But those are just my thoughts. My little two cents. As we got 3 minutes left before we off there, just wanted to put that out there.
No, I appreciate it because this is what I'm seeing, and even in the show, because I'm watching the show on purpose. It's a real, for me as a sociologist and a psychologist, it's just awesome to watch because you can see how people get, taken advantage of and abused and different things like that,
right.
Put themselves in a situation where like, oh my God, this is a cult or whatever it is that you thought, but it wasn't what you thought before you came in. Before you came in, you're like, oh, I want to be da-da-da-da-da and I'm going to be his girlfriend or whatever. And then you find out it's just not what it's cracked up to be, right? But what's deep is that even in the show, and I'm only up to episode 3, when they talk about certain setups that happen, they actually bring up Don Cornelius and how he assaulted some of the girls. I'm like, Don Cornelius from Soul Train? Okay, so you use Don Cornelius and Bill Cosby's in it, like he's in this expose, what have you. He's playing tennis and he says a comment and raises his eyebrows and all that kind of stuff. So that's interesting to me as well, how you, out of all of the things that have happened, you definitely want to point out two prominent black men in television culture. Let's just say that.
Right. So we got to.
You know what I mean? You want
to
use them as examples.
Right.
But
she got to remember that.
What about the other? I mean, come on.
Right. So, but you got to remember now. The objective is to destroy the black male. Okay.
Come on.
That's the objective. They will do that. and they will let you know that when we get ready, we will take you down. Just ask any of them, Bill Cosby, OJ, any of them. When they get ready, they will they assure you why, because they don't want other black people to look at you and think that they can do better.
Come on.
So I'm not, you know, this is a pattern. This is a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
They have never liked us.
No.
When are we gonna get that?
They're not
going to
start now.
They're not going to start now? They've never, never. And every time there's some ground or some law that passed in our favor, they found ways to go around it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a pattern. They will do that. They will continue to do it. Of course they're going to show the black male. Of course they're going to show him, you know, in a derogatory light. Think about it. Think about what a great actor Denzel Washington is.
Mm-hmm.
Think about all the great movies and all the great roles he played, right? What did they honor him for?
Right,
they
playing a crooked,
a dirty,
crazy cop.
Dirty cop.
Yep.
Not for being Malcolm. Not for the Book of Enoch. Not for any of those things that he did fantastic. None of that.
Mm-hmm.
But for Dirty Cop.
Same thing with Halle Berry in Monsters Ball.
Right, right.
I was like, really? That was an Oscar-worthy performance? Are you serious?
It was a horrible performance. They gave her Oscar in a movie where she begged a white man to sleep with her, the same man that killed her husband.
Right, and she's abusive to her son. We're honoring this. Mm-hmm.
Right. That's what you honored. That's what you wanted to give her an award for. They're sending a message to us. That's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We need to wake up and understand it is.
Come on. Yes, we do. And this is why we have this network. This is why we have my Project NEO and the NEO Nation, so that we can make sure our family does not stay in the dark. I mean, I know not all of us are going to get it all the time, but my goodness, if some of us can get it, I'll be happy. you know, as we always say, we're under attack. And the saddest part is that, like I said, you will never win a war or any type of confrontation that you're in if you don't know you're in it. And this is what's happening. And we're being, like, lulled into a false sense of security, I feel. I really feel that way. I feel like we're being lulled into a very false sense of security. And some of us are definitely drinking the Kool-Aid. Some of us are swimming in the Kool-Aid. But some of us are now regurgitating the Kool-Aid. So, you know, we can hope for the best. But I'm definitely finding that us being under attack has not let up. It hasn't. And when I look at Hugh Hefner and the whole Playboy movement and all this stuff, like I said, I see the greatest little whorehouse of Hollywood. And he was pimping. You want to talk about big pimping? He was pimping because he would lend them out. Like I said, he would bring in unattractive, undocumented workers and call it pig night and have his friends come in and they could do whatever they wanted to do with these women. Like, woo, wow, whoa. Even the young girl who was Hef's, her father was Hef's doctor, she lived in the mansion. She saw all the comings and goings of things. She would sneak in and watch things and stuff, and she said one time she came in and she saw all the girls, and they were being drugged, and they were on all fours and being treated like dogs. They had leashes around their necks, and the men were doing whatever they wanted to them, and she was like, I always want to be in control of my own life. I don't ever want anything like that to happen to me. So her first sexual encounter was actually with Hef's girlfriend, Hef's top girl, okay? She was about, this girl was about 15, 16 at the time that she starts to have a lesbian affair with his girlfriend, to the point where he then says, invite her in to our bedroom. Now, the girl, Hef's girlfriend, started crying when the young girl came in. The young girl, she was like, I was so young, I didn't know what was getting ready to happen, okay? But nothing ever really transpired because Hef's girlfriend started crying and she ran into the bathroom, at which point Hef told her she could leave the room, the girl. But she knew that she was in there to mess around with Hef's girlfriend and then have sex with him. And she was like, I always looked at him like a father figure, blah, 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 blah. He's my father's friend. My father was his doctor. I was raised in the mansion. I would have never thought anything like that would happen to me. Okay. Like, it's ridiculous. And there were, you know, drugs and all kind of stuff going on and in and through the mansion. And you're not going to tell me he ain't know nothing about it because he was getting high himself. It's fierce. I'm just like, and again, I'm going to continue to say, it's amazing what white wealth can get away with. Period. It's deep. I'm like, whoa. You know, that's what I watched as. You know, I'm looking at it as that. Like, okay, you know, and like I said, you know, the girls, as I mentioned previously, you know, they would be have to be drunk out of their minds or, like, really, really high and, you know, what have you, just to be able to be intimate. And I'm like, you're a prostitute. You're not a playmate. You're not a bunny. You're a prostitute. You hold yourself out. You know, and then they go on to get television shows and whatever, you know. I'm like, it's amazing to me. Or, like, even when when Kendra married the football player and then they had their own television show. But I'm looking at him like, do you know who you're marrying? Did you ask her how many encounters she had? Just in the brief time that she was in the mansion? Like, anyway, so, like I said, check it out when you can. It's amazing how fast these 2 hours go, you know. Doc, I thank you so much for coming on tonight. Sister Dawn, I thank you for joining us tonight. Everybody else that was listening and that came in, peace and love, and thank you so much for being with us tonight. You know, by the grace, I'll be back next Monday, next Moonday. Okay, same Nubian time, same Nubian channel. In the meantime, please go to myprojectneo.org and find out exactly the wonderful initiatives that we're doing, everything from random acts of kindness to group economics, okay, self-empowerment. You know, this network exists so that we can help enlighten and free the minds of our people and also enlighten other individuals as well. We are all members of the human family, and we as melanin-dominant people are the first humans, and we deserve way more respect and honor than we receive. So hopefully through this medium and this network, we will continue to provide information that's viable and empowering and uplifting for all of our brothers and sisters who are listening and tune in. We have amazing shows coming up this year, beautiful, beautiful programming that's happening. So, you know, please feel free to join the Neo Nation family and the MyProjectNeo.org movement. Again, happy birthday to all the Aquarians out there. All right, everybody enjoy the rest of this wonderful week. Again, give yourself extra time. Watch your speech. Program a new and more beautiful reality for yourself with every day that goes by. Be love and light everywhere you are in the world, and you would probably get that back, all right? If you definitely are interested in listening to some really good music for your soul, please go to SoundCloud.com and look up DJ Pitch Control, PYTCHCONTROLL. Number 152 is the newest mix. It's called Back to Life. And, honey, you will get your life back if you listen to this mix. So enjoy beautiful music. Music is always good for the soul. Good music is even better. And you can definitely get it there. We have wonderful things that we're going to be doing this year. Big shout out to the Columbia House Music Project in Columbia, South Carolina. DJ Pitch will be performing there Memorial Day weekend for the big three-day extravaganza. Check it out on Instagram and Facebook, Columbia House Music Project. DJ Kelly Kells is in charge of that. She does a bang-up job of making sure that it is one of the most remembered festivals ever. So if you can, join us Memorial Day weekend. We're going to be there. And just be amazing in your life, family. All right? Keep your glass half full. Don't ever look at it like it's half empty. Look for the silver lining around every cloud, okay, because the sunshine will come. All right, so be amazing and stay fantastic. I am Queen Amina. You have been listening to the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show, and I look forward to being with you again next Monday. Have a blessed week, family. One love, love and light, love and light, love and light. Ashe.